Thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
Well, we're already rolling. Welcome back, everybody, to the Journey Now Wednesday Roundtable podcast. This is going to be a lively discussion today,
yes,
so strap in. We'll have fun. But just as a advisory, in all seriousness, we're talking about adult things, and there is a slight chance that some adult language may come out. So, you know, if you're taking your kids to school today and you don't want them to teach you anything, just save it for later, maybe. I'm Grant, and I'm here, as usual, with a selection of Journey characters and pastors.
Most definitely characters.
Yeah.
That's Kevin Dixon on my left. Hey, yep. Kevin.
Hey.
We've got Sam Barnhart.
Hello, hello.
Susie Lind is with us.
Hello.
And
I'm up from the kids' table.
Rob.
Back-to-back weeks on your second podcast.
Hey, hey.
Rob.
Let's yep. go.
And Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
There's Justin over in the corner. So before this all falls apart, because it's going to happen soon, yeah. But let me just try and get a couple minutes in. Today we want to talk about swearing. And it's interesting to me because nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not swear. Although God does command his followers to not to misuse his name in mm-hmm. Exodus.
Yeah.
Right? So why has Christianity gotten tangled up in this idea that we need to be subbing in gold darn it and fudge and all these other exclamations mm-hmm. that the rest of the pop culture gets to use far more interesting language? so I want to, Rob's got a great story about this. I want to start over on with Kevin though. Mm-hmm. And, you know, language, Christianity, how did those things get tangled up together in America? Go.
I think they've been tangled up all along because we're commanded not to use vulgar language. There's a mm-hmm. there's a difference between swearing or cussing or and also, just to clarify, we're told not to swear an oath.
Right.
We're said to let our yes be yes and our no be no. So there's also that component, but we're not really talking about that. So I just wanted to at least...
That was last week.
That was last week.
Ago.
Yeah, whatever.
Which is interesting because, you know, the Old Testament is full of mm-hmm. oaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's commitments.
But very sacred and serious oaths. So therein lies the contradiction or the difficulty is, in essence, God is saying, take this seriously.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And don't swear oaths just to...
Right.
Be impressive.
Right. And it's invoking the name of God in a way that never was intended to be used. And it's also, yeah, I think the vulgarity question is the one that you have to wrestle with. And then what ends up happening is there's a correlation then between that and other language around when we get frustrated, when we get upset, when we... mm-hmm. that comes out of us. So I think language is an overflow of the heart. And as language is an overflow of the heart, I don't see a whole lot of difference between saying something to the effect of, oh crap, or oh sh-. Those are the same. That's the overflow of the heart. The word itself speaks of something that smells bad, right? But there's a degree of evidence of the heart in how we say that and what we say. That word that we use on the end of it, where we cuss, we call it cussing culturally, it can be vulgar or it can be an expression of frustration, anger, or emotion.
So you just did the whole podcast. You got ahead of us.
You nailed it.
Dang it. Dang it.
You know, Kevin said it. We believe it. That settles it.
Dang it.
Let's start with the easy one. I want to sort of go back because you said a lot of really cool things.
I did. Sorry.
No, no, no. You said there were cool things. But as we said, the Bible is very clear about how holy God's name is.
Yep.
And how reverently we should treat that name.
Yeah.
So are we all in agreement that certain phrases that combine his name with the thing that the beavers build is never appropriate or not? And do any of you transgress that particular commandment? What do you think?
I mean, I'm more likely to drop an F-bomb than to use that.
Right.
If I'm honest. Like, I still have like a, I don't think I ever say that. And I don't, my kids don't say it. If they do, they know that's not going to be okay. But they're.
Well, that one definitely slips out of me periodically. The, because my dad said it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what if you, so what you're saying is you take the word, you take God out of it. I mean, if you say damn, or sometimes you say damn.
Yeah. But,
it works in so many different ways.
It does.
But is, I mean, you're still, the essence, the idea behind that is you're saying.
You're condemning.
I condemn something to hell, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, but. It almost seems like culturally it's lost its context, right? What do you think about that, Rob?
See, I think about that word, that phrase, and I think about like, I go back to my story, right, of substituting those words for something else.
Yeah.
Right? Like, gosh darn it. There's a part of me that's like, I don't know. And again, because of, I'll explain my story here in a minute. There's a part of me that's like, that is, I don't even know if that's okay. Right? And to give you guys some context, when I was probably about 19, I was volunteering at a church, and I was hanging with the pastor. I don't know what we were doing. And I said, I think I like stubbed my toe or something, but I said the word frick. I was like, oh, frick. Pastor looks at me, and it, no joke, slaps me in the face.
Nuh-uh.
No joke. I'm not
hard
lying.
Slap.
Hard slap.
Not just like a little
like,
pat.
To the point where I like was... I was like, what is it? And I literally looked, I was like, what was that for?
This was in the 2000s?
This was in the 2000s.
I mean, 80s, I could kind of see, but 2000s?
It was about a week ago when I was sitting with Kep. No.
No, it wasn't me. Wasn't me.
But I was so shocked. And he looked at me and he said, I said, why'd you do that? And he says, because in your heart, you said the other word.
Right.
Oh, good grief. That's like, what you can see in your heart?
That's what he said to me.
I have so many problems with this right now. It makes me want to
bust. By good grief, did you mean something stronger, Susie?
Oh, my word.
But I grew up with this.
Stars.
So I grew up with this idea for a long time of not only was it not okay to cuss at church, but it wasn't even okay to do the alternatives.
Sure.
Right.
Like, you can do any sort of...
Like, gosh darn it.
None of it.
The repression.
Dang. Yes.
The repression of all of that emotion. I can't handle that.
But, you know, I mean, the funny thing is...
How could he judge your heart is what I want to know. How could he know what was in your heart?
There are so many issues.
Anyway.
There.
I'm not...
No, no, we won't go there. I just...
Does he listen to this podcast?
I'm going to send him a link. No, I'm just kidding.
But, I mean, there are these kinds of exclamations, because that's what you're talking about, right? We're not talking about taking God's name in vain or that you're frick, right?
Yeah.
And there are these things in the Bible. You know, Jesus says of the Pharisees, the Pharisees.
They needed therapies.
He goes, you brood of vipers, right?
Yeah.
And then in Philippians, one of my favorite ones. Sam, you mentioned this, that Paul says, for Jesus' sake, you know, the translation we all learn, he suffered the loss of all things and counts them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ.
Right.
Which sounds very Christian of Paul until you understand that the word translated as rubbish is a Greek word, skabala, which I think should be...
Another S word.
No, that...
That is what he means. Is what he's saying.
No, I'm thinking that should be like your next band name.
Skabala?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, it translates literally as poop, crap, poop, dung.
Dung.
Exactly.
You got any more?
Shiitake mushrooms. Yeah.
I can keep going. That's
funny. Yeah. So, I mean.
Manure.
Yeah. How does that strike you, Sam? And then, I mean, on the other hand, yeah. you've got Colossians 3 saying, you know, keep obscene talk out mm-hmm. of your mouth and, you know, think on whatever is lovely, from whatever is commendable, yeah, yeah. all the... that sort of thing. Anything that's worthy of praise. Think about these things. Mm-hmm. So can poop be lovely or commendable, or how do you make that work in your life?
Well, okay. So I'm going to use a real world example here. Here we go. No, but growing up, like I was talking about a little bit ago, growing up, like you didn't take the Lord's name in vain in any form, whatever that looked like. But, you know, our family, mine and Angela's family, grew up farming. And so my grandpa would never go, hey, let's go out to the poop pile. You know, it was always let's go out. It was either manure or is what it was. So there were certain things that they just the. What the word was, it wasn't vulgar. It wasn't bad. It's just what it was called.
It was a noun.
Yeah. It was just describing what it was. And so, but then there was other, pretty much in my family, for the most part, there wasn't as much swearing probably in my immediate, but in my broader family, there for sure was. And I don't really remember anyone ever using the Lord's name in vain. It was almost like that was the one, like, we're just going to not do that. But the other ones were, it was language. It wasn't, there was not real intense emotion that was held onto with that. So
so many of these things are about intense emotion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, right. maybe not when it's every third word coming out of your mouth.
Right.
Right. And my grandpa could string them together too, man. Some of them.
Super yeah. creatively. Yep. Creative. Yeah. My dad
yes.
too.
Yes. He was. Yeah. He was gifted. Yeah.
It's a spiritual gifting.
It might be a spiritual gift.
But, you know, I wanted to relate that back to in one of his Mike Monday podcasts, Pastor Mike Erie, he said that a therapist once told him, not a Pharisee, a therapist, uh-huh. That he needed to learn how to cuss mm-hmm. in his prayers, mm-hmm. which I thought was fascinating. Mm-hmm. That, and to me, that's about this authenticity, mm-hmm. right? That I'm not going to
hold back your anger before the Lord.
Speak in New King mm-hmm. or Old King James English. I'm going to come from the depths of mm-hmm. my soul,
right.
right? And emotion. So
he knows anyway.
Yeah.
It's he knows like, what's in like your heart. He knows. Not what, that guy yeah, from yeah, your it, youth group.
You can't.
Yeah. He was a lead pastor.
Well, whatever.
But there's a degree of relating it. My dad was very verbose. Mm-hmm. He could string them together. Yeah. He often wondered how we learned them. And we'd be like, huh,
I about you,
you, you, yeah. you know. But that's another story for another time. But most of the time, the cussing, he would get offended, or the offense was when we attached the cussing to another person's identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, big time.
And, totally.
And we would call them out as a whatever. But there's a degree of you learn mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. how these words attach meaning to somebody else. And when you start attaching the meaning to somebody else, yes. he would draw that line really hard, really fast, and it was painful.
Which is so interesting. Go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say, it's totally the same. Like, I would get in a ton of trouble if I called my sister stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way more than I would if I said a word that mom and dad thought was offensive. Well,
you know? I feel like that's how I'm teaching my kids now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Because it's like, you can't, I mean, I, you know, I think you try to tell them not to cuss, and then you figure out they're cussing with their friends at school, and then it becomes kind of an expression. And so it's like you have to, I don't know, you have to teach them the value of an aptly spoken word being yes. like apples
right.
of gold.
Right.
And sometimes a well-placed cuss word is what you need to fully describe the emotion, the mm-hmm. intensity of the moment. But if you're just swinging it all around all the time,
it loses its effect.
Yeah, I don't know. I think about all those scriptures that you referenced earlier, like in Colossians and Ephesians and all the things about the mouth being the overflow of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to that. Like,
yeah.
corrupting talk, like let no corrupting talk or unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Like, well, what is that? How is that word attaching to that motivation, that motive? Like, you know, and so when you are corrupting someone with that language, or or attacking their identity, I think that is a line that's crossed.
Yes,
but, but I loved when Mike talked about that in his podcast, because I do think that there is something. I think I, there was a moment for me with my kids where I remember there was this situation and one of my kids came to me and they were very upset and they're just, their mouth was just like running. And I was like, I had that moment of like, is this okay? Like, should I correct this? And then I thought, no, because he's actually bringing his heart to me right now. And I want to make space for that and not sit here correcting every bit of behavior. But I want to hear what's behind all that anger and that fury. But I do think also, like, for, like, you know, as adults and communicators, I think it's important also to take into account, like, am I cussing because I'm trying to get a rise out of somebody because I can't think of a better word? Is it going to offend somebody? Like, you know, we there's the cussing pastor from the Blue Like Jazz, right? Which we all know who that is now. But I mean, like, you know, if I'm going to be teaching, for example, am I going to cuss in my sermon because there's people who might, that would become an obstacle to them hearing the word, and they would stop listening. And even in, forget about giving a message, but in conversation, like, what does that, does it create an obstacle of relationship between you and a person, or does it help convey your heart, your intimacy? And even if what is being conveyed in your heart is ugly, like, gosh, I can't think of a better road to friendship. You know, and depth of friendship, if I'm willing to show you the ugliness in my heart and allow you to give me space for that.
I think that's been part of my experience and maybe frustration with the church in particular, is like that idea of, hey, don't cuss, right? But then also in the same breath, like, that person would go and gossip about somebody.
Well, yeah.
Or talk bad or be sarcastic to that person.
That's Romans 1 stuff right there.
Totally. And but it's this idea that, like, on the outside, I'm saying the correct things. Right?
Right.
And instead, I'm not being authentic with people. I'm not actually sharing my heart with people. Like, I'm just giving them lip service.
Yeah.
Right? And so you, in your fullest expression of either hurt or, you know, for me, you know, stubbing my toe, that's not okay.
Right.
Right? But it's okay for me to withhold, to not be authentic, to be fake, essentially, to placate somebody because they're a member of our church or whatnot. And we're okay with that, right, in Christian culture, because it's not tied to a swear word, right? But we can talk about, again, somebody's identity or just somebody's behavior in a way that is not fruitful, not of God, and we're okay with it because we're not swearing when we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm hearing from all of you is about authenticity. Right. When we're not talking about taking God's name in inappropriate ways, it's it's about authenticity. And so I want to sort of flip that on its head a little bit, because as part of my diligent and faithful show prep for this podcast, I watched part of that Netflix show. I don't know if any of you saw it. The History of Swearing.
Oh my gosh.
It's really funny.
And one of the interesting things about that was they talked about people, particularly from oppressed groups, swearing as a way of reclaiming power. That you had, for instance, black people who had been called the most ugly and the most vicious names, gay people, women who had been denigrated in with sexual terms, right?
Yeah, right.
And they're basically saying, oh, you want to give me the most ugly, vile word and apply it to me? Guess what? I'm going to apply it to myself.
Yeah, I'm going to own this.
And let
I'm
going to
own it,
it
and let you deal with it, right? Yeah. So, I mean, this is where I've got so many mixed emotions with pop culture, because there's a lot there that I just don't want to listen to and or see, and I don't want other people. I don't want it in my culture. At the same time, I understand that that impulse that people have, and there's an authenticity to that, to saying,
You want to call me this? Well, let me tell you what it's like to be this.
And that goes to identity. Some of that goes to identity and
it personhood. All goes to identity.
Right.
Yeah.
And therein lies the role, I think, when you start getting into the greater culture around us and Christian culture and where it clashes, it's whether or not that identity is real or if it's an assumed identity or it's a false identity. And all of those things come to play.
Which, like everything in American life, is about false identity.
I know.
Right? Yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, social media. So you have you yes. have these kids in the suburbs mm-hmm. who are playing, you know, Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, WAP. Okay. They're playing, you didn't want me to go there. I'm going there. They're listening to Ariana Grande, 34 plus 35, which if you add up those numbers, you know it's also a Ross story.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what that's about.
These songs will not be in the show notes.
But it disturbs me that, number one, you got a bunch of kids who that has nothing to do with anything about their identity or their experience. Mm-hmm. And they're adopting that the way that they try on everything else mm-hmm. in America to see if they can be cool, right? And then it also disturbs me that all the power goes out of that. Like you were talking about words being decontextualized, Rob. And so am I just really old-fashioned for...
Well, I think the problem is with that and like even like what we were talking about earlier... with authenticity in the church, like in church settings and mm-hmm. Christian culture or whatever, I don't think we forsake responsibility for the sake of authenticity. Hmm. And that's what you're talking about, because I think I can be authentic with my kids and feel the freedom to drop a word now and then, but I'm not going to do that in front of my littlest kid who doesn't understand the nuances of that mm-hmm. and might take it to his third grade classroom and share that word with other people, you know, like that's not responsible. So I think there's a problem with forsaking one for the other where you have to be able to hold both. And so if I'm an influencer and I'm a world famous pop star and I want to be authentic with my story and with everything you just described, because I get that, I feel that, I understand wanting to do that, but then there's this responsibility, like am I making your audience? I think even with like we were talking, I think before we hit record, we were talking about
it all got recorded.
Well, we were talking about the whole female empowerment thing that's mm-hmm. happening with some of what's happening in pop culture. And I often wonder with these things, as a woman who has spent much of my adult life trying to navigate mm-hmm. the female empowerment in the circles I've been placed in, like, is that actually helping or hurting us? You know,
right.
Like if we're talking about, and this is, you know, this conversation is always going on, but like, if we're talking about not wanting to be objectified, not wanting to be seen as only a sexual being, as, you know, all those things. And is the music that I'm making, is my expression of art, is my the things I'm writing, whether it's music or something else, like, is that helping that or is it hurting that? You know, and I think that's where I think probably people have differing opinions, but I struggle with that. Like as a woman who's had to, I don't really feel like I fought for it, but I had to break into a male dominant environment. Mm-hmm. That's really hard for me, you know? And right. It was the same thing like when 50 Shades of Grey came out. Like that was a really hard thing because on the one hand, I'm a pastor who's dealing with all these women who are struggling in relationships where, you know, their partner is addicted to pornography and it's going way off where it needs to be sexually. And then here comes this book that everyone's raving about and reading that's basically glorifying some of that stuff.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't know where this fits. It's just, it doesn't in my
I've never heard it, you know, like the way you just did. I think that's so good, this idea of authenticity with responsibility. Like, that's something, that's a great, and so true. Yeah.
And just to recenter it a little bit around, we're responsible for what we say. Mm-hmm. We are, not the other person that's listening to us. And I know that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So there's a degree of that, but also scripturally, the Bible teaches that we need to be looking out for the weaker one, the one that, and oftentimes language will cause somebody else to stumble, somebody else to move in a direction you don't want them to.
And all the kids who grew up in purity culture just got majorly triggered by what you just said.
I get that.
So, but I think it's good. Like, we need to clarify that
yes,
like, we're not responsible for someone else's
reaction,
how they react, how they respond, how they take it. But, like, you know, like the pastor who said what's in your heart, he doesn't know, but you know what's in your heart.
Correct. Right.
And so take a moment and ask yourself, like, what is my goal here? What's my what's my motive here?
And context matters.
Yeah.
You were talking context when you were talking about your third grade son.
Yeah.
There's also context of understanding your audience, who you're with, the conversation. I've been in rooms with people and I'm going, man, do you know who you're in a room with here? Mm-hmm. The way you're talking. And I wonder, you know, because they lose credibility. Sometimes you can use swear words to your detriment. Mm-hmm. You cheapen yourself. And I don't know if that's true. It depends on context, obviously. But there are times when I just looked at somebody and I leaned over and said, you probably don't want to talk like that with this group of people.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to work for you. It's not going to help you.
I think it's interesting, too, because I think underneath a lot of that is this desire for freedom. Mm. Like, I just want to be free to say what I want to say, to express myself in these ways. Mm-hmm. I want to be free sexually. I want to be free in all these. And that's a wonderful thing that God wants. I mean, hello, Naked and Unashamed, chapter 2 or 3 or wherever that was.
Yeah.
But, like,
I thought that was a Discovery Channel show.
I actually thought that was a movie.
Oh, actually, Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Unashamed were Adam and Eve. You know?
Yes.
I'm just giving you
at the same time that they were naked and unashamed, they were also given something to steward and be responsible for.
Correct.
And so, so with it's all, like, not meant to bog you down and not to hold you back, but to actually, God wants you to flourish in all these things. And yet, in that flourishing, there's still this flourishing responsibility that allows other people to flourish as well.
Right.
And so that's what we're on earth for.
And therein lies cultural struggle, the difference between freedom and license.
Right.
Mm. And what you're describing is freedom. My freedom is I can self-govern myself. License is I get to say what I want, when I want, and I don't care what you think or what you experience from me.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And if I respect you.
Yeah.
And I respect the people I'm around, I will then, and this is where I think it teeters into this, don't be vulgar for the sake of vulgarity.
Right.
Don't talk coarsely just because you can. And I think that's the...
And don't do it to sell records either. You know, I mean, that's...
I would agree
so
with
that's
that.
The other thing that I didn't even bring into the conversation is this commercial component.
For
which
sure.
is why you got banned off of television, isn't
well,
it,
for
Sam?
One show.
But, I mean, I can share the story. But,
I think I pretty much forced you into
okay.
it.
Okay. Thank you, Grant. No, and I mean, even kind of the flip side of kind of what we're just talking about was we had done a record, and it was very vertically focused. It wasn't a worship record, but it was an expression of our hearts and through our worldview as followers of Christ.
This was Bleach,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had done an interview where, so we used to make this joke about how many Jesus per minutes are in a song, right? Because that's what would sell records, right? JPMs, man, Jesus per minute. And we were kind of, we always felt like, we're not doing that. Like, that's nonsense. But we were at this television program doing an interview, and the host kept hitting on this idea of why don't we say Jesus in our songs more? And I finally kind of hit my end with the line of questioning, and I said, look, I mean, if I'm just going to put Jesus in my songs to sell more records, I might as well put God damn. whatever, you know, like it's the intent, the heart is the same, right? So if I'm using Jesus' name to sell a record, or if I'm using it because I'm mad, like I'm not, it doesn't matter. It's the same heart, right? It's not, it's not honoring, you know, honoring to God. And so, I was not invited back to that program ever again, but, you know,
but you're still here. I made my point.
Yeah.
I sold some records.
But yeah, probably so. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think that that happens on the flip side, mm-hmm. right? Is yep. we oftentimes, and I think, and now again, this was my experience in Christian music years and years and years ago. Hopefully things have changed, but yeah, that was kind of the expectation, was that you're going to use Jesus to sell records. And that never sat with me. It's just, it's an opposite way of kind of what we're talking about, but it was the same. I mean, to me, the heart of that is the same. So
Rob, last thing for you, and this is like one of the most encouraging things that came out of the whole discussion to me, is I think in that Netflix series, the last one, again, one of the psychologists or somebody said, the thing with profanity is we swear about what we care about.
Mm.
And they were talking, actually sadly, about the fact that religious swearing has declined. Because so many people, that's just not, it's not a part of their lives anymore, right?
So we're going to increase that?
Christian cuss words? Or is that like all these, just raw?
Yeah, like, no, all these like, oaths on the bones of God and bloody and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And then the 20th century, you have this rise and fall of body function and sexual swearing. Hmm. And now millennials, which is why I'm looking at you, Rob.
Aw, our little millennial.
Our little millennial. He's all grown up now. Yeah, he's all grown up now. But that your cohort is most offended by swear words that are slurs, what we were talking about before.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We're offended by a lot of things.
I actually found that to be a really beautiful thing that we're becoming more aware.
Yeah, I was actually, I don't know who I was mentioning this to, but like the culture of... different conversation in terms of censorship, but the culture of millennials right now that is driving, like, so TikTok, I don't know if you guys know what that is.
I have a TikTok.
Follow. But TikTok, I would say, is, there's a lot of people on it, but I would say some of the driving forces of that particular platform, probably people my age and younger. And there's a story of a guy, Perez Hilton, who is a blogger for so long.
Celebrity gossip guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and he just slammed people all the time, right? And so he did this a lot in like early 2000s, and he was just well, he got some popularity on TikTok, and he had thought, like a lot of people thought he changed because he had a family and whatnot, so they started following. He started making money on TikTok, and then he went back to kind of his old ways, and he started slamming one of the biggest influencers on TikTok.
Oh, boy.
Right, just like... talking about her family and like all this stuff. And so you have this massive wave of millennials, Gen Z consumers that are like, we're not okay with this on the platform. And they actually forced TikTok to remove him from the platform simply because he was being mean.
That sounds really familiar.
Yes, I don't want to trigger anyone. But
I can't imagine who you're talking about.
I don't know if I know what that means. But yes, I would say...
I'm surprised you said that without swearing, Stevie.
I would say our generation, largely in part, we're less okay with that kind of like derogatory language.
Well, it's demeaning people.
Yeah, yeah, we're less okay with that than I would say other generations.
Right.
I love the millennials.
They're some good to us.
There's hope for the world yet. Maybe not on TikTok, but hope for the world.
That's really great, though.
I think the other thing that I experienced, at least just in my role here, is like the consumerism part of some of this stuff, right? Like you have these like buzzwords or buzz numbers, right? That like a lot of, they don't even know what it means. Mm-hmm. And they think it's cool, right? The 34 plus 35, they don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Some may, but a lot of them don't. And they're just like consumed with this number. They don't know why. And it's because there's these songs, there's these things, and they're just like, this must be cool. Because it's being, you know, shown, right. Sung about, you know, yeah. And I find it interesting, just like, it is a license thing of like, we're just, we do what we want when we want.
Yeah.
and sometimes without even understanding.
I know, if you actually sit a kid down and like talk them through the lyrics of a song and like help them understand what it is that's actually being said, like it's pretty it's pretty
eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
Kids would spend a lot more time listening to Lawrence Welk.
Now you're speaking my language, man.
Who?
Yeah.
Lawrence Welk, my grandpa's favorite kid.
Yes.
Oh, we watch Lawrence Welk. It's another podcast, and we've come to the end of this damn podcast. Thanks to Kevin, Sam, Susie, Rob, everyone who participated today. Hey, if we inspired thoughts, if we made you angry...
Let us know.
Yeah. Text us your questions and comments at 615-861-9503. That's in the show notes if you didn't catch the number. But let us know what you think. I mean, the heart of all of this, guys, is we want to think through what it's like to follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives and not just blindly accept the received wisdom or the customs of the world. So that's our heart. You can like it or you can't, but if you do like what we're sticking in your ears and your brains, do me a favor. Screenshot the episode, share it to your Instagram stories so we can see who's following along, and then, I don't know, tag us, share your episode, subscribe to Journey Now on your favorite listening platform, and join us tomorrow for Theology Thursday, hosted by Kevin. And then come hang out with me and another group of Journey Roundtable pastors again next Wednesday on the Journey Now Roundtable. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the Journey Now podcast, please take a moment to leave a rating or review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.